te vasudevaya. Tasmad sankirtanam Vishnor.
Tasmad sankirtanam Vishnor.
Jagan mangalamang hasam. Mahatam apikorabhya. Vidyaikantika niskritam. Sukadev Goswami continued. My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We should note that although Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activities by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful acts. I welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Thank you for being here. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, entitled Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers. Text 31. Sukadev Goswami continued, my dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. At the time of we are having our Sankirtan Mela, His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj gave us a very personal, intimate, and full experience of this verse last night. Not only is Sukadev Goswami, who is the acharya of the process of kirtanam, speaking this verse, but he is quoting a person who not only is one of the great Mahajans, Mahajano Yena Gata Asapanta, But his words are very relevant to us, especially in this Kali Yuga. This statement that the Sankirtan movement can uproot even the greatest sins, and the chanting of the holy names is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe, is being spoken by Yamaraj, who keeps track of everybody's sins. And he's speaking to Yamadutas, the people who are specially deputed to enforce reactions, karmic reactions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wrote, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. That the greatest benediction we have is the Supreme Truth has descended in the divine sounds of the names. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. From Sri Goloka Dham, the spiritual world, the highest realm of spiritual existence, has descended this chanting of God's names. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, what will you get out of this chanting of Krishna's names? Prabhupada's reply was very simple, but very comprehensive. He said, the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna. Chetu Tarapana Marajanam Bhava Mahada Vagni Nirvapanam. At the beginning stages, we become purified. Om Apavitra Apavitro Vasaravavastam Gatopiva Yasmarit Pundari Kaksham Sabhayabhyantara Suchi. That Krishna is supremely pure. And anything that comes in contact with him properly becomes purified. Nam nama kari bahuta nita sarva shaktis. That the strength, the beauty, the sweetness, the abode, the pastimes, leelas, the devotees, Krishna reveals them all to one who genuinely takes shelter of these holy names. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyam. That as we seek shelter, the Lord reciprocates accordingly. Kalikale namarupe Krishna avatar. Krishna has descended in his name. He's not different than his name. Nama chintamani Krishna's chaitanya rasvigra. But according to how we reciprocate, how we take shelter, Krishna reveals everything. Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was in Chandpur in Bengal, he was speaking to a group of very great learned scholars of scriptures, and he was describing the glories of the holy names. He was asked, what is the purpose? He said, the purpose is prema. To awaken the dormant, ecstatic love that is the very essential nature of the soul. Nityasiddha Krishna prema satya kapunoi sravanadi suti chiti kodi ehudoi. This love is within the heart of every living being. But it is forgotten. For such a long time, people hardly have a clue that it's even there. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mami vami prapadyante maya me tatarantite. It's so covered
that it's practically impossible to excavate and find it unless we seek shelter. Trinara bisunichena. When we actually have a humble attitude of service, humility, forgiveness, tolerance, eager to offer respect to others without demanding or expecting respect for oneself. When we sincerely try to live by these principles. Samsidhir Hari Toshanam. Krishna is pleased and he reciprocates. And gradually by the Lord's mercy, this love can be awakened. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. And when we associate with those who are truly on the path of Prema Bhakti, then we develop the faith, the inspiration, and the understanding of how we can awaken that faith within ourselves. Srila Haridas Thakur was such a person. He explained that the goal is the awakening of this love, which is like the rising of the sun. When the sun rises, all darkness is dispelled. And he explained, even before the sun rises, darkness is dispelled. And similarly, even before that ecstatic love awakens within our heart, the removing of ignorance, the purification of our karmas, our sins, are dispelled. In other words, what he was saying is mukti. Moksha, nirvana, liberation is achieved as part of the process of the ultimate goal of the awakening of prema, of pure love. So this is the gift we've been given in the form of Sravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. To the extent we understand its value, we appreciate its value, we will be willing to make choices, even uncomfortable and difficult choices, because we understand what is the value. Here in Mumbai, people are going through traffic in cars, are being crushed in overcrowded trains, and going to work, or to speak of raising children, so many hardships. Why? Because we understand the value of the love we have for our child, our family. We understand the value of the money we're making to survive, to be happy. So tapasya is performed. If you're going to university or college, so many things you'd probably rather be doing, and you have to study for exams, and you have to prepare, and so many things, because you understand the value of the degree and what it can do for you. Nasta praesha badreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. It's important on a daily basis to be reminded of what the value is of this human form of life. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. Human form of life is so rare. And the rarest thing in this human life, Durlabhamanava Janama Satsange Taraha Ebavo Sindhuri is associating with those people who remind us, inspire us, and give us the faith and the courage to live in such a way where we strive for the highest goal, the awakening of our deepest, truest potential to love Krishna. And what is the quality and also the process of achieving that love? Karuna. To live in compassion for all living beings. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasanu Das. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, his aspiration was to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. Ultimately, everyone's a servant of the Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains we serve great, highly realized people by taking blessings, inspiration, instructions, by serving. We serve those who are our peers by developing deep friendships, by being there for each other in every way to help each other to realize Krishna. Love for Krishna, service to Krishna. And we serve common people according to the capacity of ourselves, according to the capacity of our connections with the great souls, and according to people's openness. We want to be instruments of compassion. That's how we take shelter of the divine names of the Lord. In one of the processes, Rupa Goswami tells, to get this inspiration, this deep spiritual nourishment, blessings and grace, is to go to holy places, especially Vrindavan. So now I will begin my class by focusing on our purpose. Today is a very special, very auspicious day because we have two wonderful personalities who have come. And there's something very special all three of us have in common. Could you sit here, Professor Ali, please? What we have in common is we're all born in this island far away called the United States of America. I remember Srila Prabhupada, he called some places in America remote places, so far from Vrindavan and Mayapur. And all three of us, by some divine arrangement that I don't know if any of us could really understand or comprehend, we were all brought to the spiritual motherland of India. And all of us ended up beginning our spiritual lives in Vrindavan. And I wrote a book about it. It's called The Journey Home, how I somehow or other came here. So these two personalities, my very superior friends, they both wrote books about it too. And they're both releasing their books today for us. Yeah. I arrived at the border of India in 1970. And I wandered around as a student. It's very interesting how we have our destinies. We have one of the most esteemed professors in the world today with us. And he came to Vrindavan working on his PhD from, I believe, Harvard University, most prestigious university, yes. And myself, similar but different. I went to a junior college. And nobody goes to junior college who gets good grades. I went to a junior college for one semester. And I was supposed to continue. And the junior college I went to, there were 50,000 students, and I never met one who was interested in studies. This is another side of America that is historically very interesting. But after one semester of a junior college, where I kind of did all right, I ended up doing my studies in Europe and in the Middle East and in the Himalayas. And I was studying snakes and mosquitoes and leopards and elephants and yogis in the Himalayan caves. So that's where I did my studies. So, you know, as far as degrees, Himalayas were very cold, so I had very low degrees. But ultimately, not by my plan in any way, shape, or form, I was drawn to Vrindavan. And when I came to Vrindavan, I was only planning to stay 3 days. But then I got typhoid fever, and I wasn't allowed to leave. So there I was, laying on the bank of the Yamuna. And one of the first people I met when I was in Vrindavan was a wonderful person named Asim Krishnadas. We met in... I arrived in Vrindavan on Janmashtami of 1971. I was trapped there. And actually the next day, Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, is the day I met Asim Krishnadas and his guru, Swami Ban Maharaj. And then I told him, we spoke for a few hours, it was very nice. Then I said, I'm leaving for the bank of Yamuna, then I'm going to Kashmir in the Himalayas to go to a cave where Lord Shiva lives. And he said, well, if you need my help, I'm here. I said, thank you. So I went to under my tree and slept on the bank of Yamuna. And the next morning, I was so sick, the sickest I've ever been in my life. I couldn't stand up. Our management have so many subtle ways of telling me I'm going overtime. Or if Gauranga Prabhu, you arranged that? Please know I picked up on it. So there I was in Vrindavan, and somebody threw me on an ox cart and tipped me to this Ramakrishna Sevashrama charitable hospital, and I was laying there with all these dying people in a charitable ward. And the next day, Asim Krishnadas came with Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj and asked, he said, I'm here to help you. So by the time I recovered from typhoid, I had decided I'm never going to leave Vrindavan until I die. I was so charmed by the path of devotion, by the concept of Sri Radha. And I was living in the bank of the Yamuna, and every day I would go to Sri Radharaman temple for Mangalarti. So we have with us a very special guest who I've heard the praises of for many, many decades. And I'm so grateful we could meet today. And I'm so grateful that everyone could meet you today. Professor Jack Hawley. Everyone, please greet him by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Much louder. Something like that, thank you. Well, he first came to Vrindavan in 1974. And what Vrindavan was like when I lived there for almost a year, and when he came there, is this spirit, the bhav of Sri Vrindavan is eternal, and nothing could change that. The leelas that Sri Radharani and Sri Krishna are eternally performing there, nothing can adulterate that. But there's a layer that can affect our material vision. And actually, this material world is Krishna's divine energy. And we are meant to be caretakers of Krishna's divine energy. And part of the way we honor and respect Krishna is how we respect and honor his energy, which is material nature, especially these holy abodes, Yamuna Devi. Every devotee offers oblations to Yamuna. And when we pick up that water, we're meditating on offering our love, our gratitude, our prayers for love. So when we understand that this is a medium by which we're directly connecting to God, how can we put pollution in the Yamuna? How can we tolerate that? We go to Vrindavan and we bow down and we understand how every grain is so of sand or dust is so sacred. Sometimes we roll in the dust of Sri Brajbhumi. And the holy places of Krishna's leelas and the beautiful temples established by great Goswamis, they're not material. They're spiritual. But if we don't properly respect, honor, and show love and devotion to this divine energy of the Lord, then our vision becomes material. So the Vrindavan that we knew is very different from the external perspective. When we first went there,
Vrindavan in the 1970s was mostly forest and pastures, peacocks and parrots, not quite as many monkeys. And the monkeys were happy because they had so many trees to live on. If you take away their trees, then what do they live on? Whatever the pilgrims, they could take from them. Poverty could make a good person bad. It's not their fault. So in this way, you know, so much development, so much commercial, so much everything, it's very different. But still, you know, many of us went there this year for our pilgrimage in Kartik. We could feel Vrindavan no matter what men do to it. But still, Dham Seva, to do everything we can to glorify Krishna by restoring the glory of his eternal abode. So this book, I just received it last night, and I read. I'm a very slow reader, but I did read some. And it's very much a personal account, as well as an academic study of his Professor Hawley's experiences in Vrindavan in the 70s and over the years, and the state of Vrindavan today. Not only from a political, sociological, environmental perspective, but from a personal, devotional perspective of the heart. So it's a wonderful book. And Gauranga Prabhu, would you like to give a little introduction to Professor Hawley?
RG Media YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe.